Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are our God, our Father, and that our Father, you provide for us all that we have need of. You provide for our daily bread, Lord, and you are our portion. Lord, you're our inheritance. You're the bread that truly satisfies. And today we pray that you will impart into every heart here truth. Your word is truth. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak through me today, touch through me, heal through me, whatever you want to do today, Lord, that your will be done. Open our eyes, our ears to hear, Lord, what you're saying to us. Change us, Lord. I want to look like you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 11 and 2 says, "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." Paul is saying here that he doesn't want, you know, God's people to give themselves to any other lovers, any other gods, any other Jesuses. Amen. There are many Jesuses being presented today. If you receive the wrong gospel or the wrong doctrine or teaching, then you receive a different Jesus and a different spirit. And there are those who think they have received Jesus, but they have received a counterfeit because they have sat under false teaching. And the only that way that we can know truth is by the Spirit of truth. When we approach the Word of God, we must approach with a poverty mentality of, "God, I do not know. I am come as an open book today for you to fill in the blanks." Amen. I want you to teach me, because I, in my own cleverness or in my own reason, are not able to understand truth. And Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Amen. That means that if we have a mind or a heart that is humble before God in recognition that I cannot understand the truth by my own ability or by my own intellectual ability or cleverness, it must be given to me as a gift from God by the Holy Spirit, and it is given to those who humble themselves under God's hand. We realize that I am not all that. You know, we can get a lot of information and become proud of our information, proud of our knowledge. Yet true wisdom comes from the Lord. True understanding comes from the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "He will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance everything I taught you." So we have to depend on God to know what is true. The problem today is that too many don't know their Bible, don't read their Bible. They just spend their time, you know, surfing around or going to this place and that place and listening to whatever the preacher is saying. And often deception, you know, it sounds right. To our natural understanding, deception is easy. Why? Because the natural mind cannot understand truth. That's right. That mind is already corrupted. So we have got to depend or rely upon the Holy Spirit to teach us so that we will not be deceived. Again, deception is believing something that is false as though it were true. And a person who is deceived doesn't know they're deceived. And we can all be deceived. So don't be deceived to think you can't be deceived. Amen. And so... we need to understand that, "God, I don't want to be deceived. Lord, deliver me from lies. Deliver me from deception and reveal to me what is true." Do you know, if you pray that way and you continually pray that way, then God will honor that, because that means that you want Him. You want to hear from Him. Amen. You don't want to have any other lovers in your life. You want Jesus, amen, in Him. The true Jesus. And I want to quickly just go over a few points that I made last week about these. There are several ways that we can be self-deceived. It's one thing to be deceived by someone, another thing to be self-deceived. The enemy seeks to deceive us either way, either by somebody else or by us trusting in our own cleverness or our own intellect to be able to know what is true and what is not. And so you have intellectual Christians who can be very dangerous, and actually they're not really Christians, because a Christian is a follower of Christ, amen, a follower of Jesus. But those who use the name Christian, and yet they may be just puffed up in their fleshly mind, and they may be proud of all the information that they have accumulated, and they may be able to quote scriptures just so, and wow people with the wealth of information they have. But the only thing that is going to change us and change anybody else is the Spirit of God working through us. Amen? The Word that is delivered by the living Word given to us. So this is what we strive for, in the sense that we want to be yielded vessels that God will speak through. You know, we need to learn how to relax in Him and lean on Him for answers. When somebody asks you a question, the first thing we should say is, God help. Holy Spirit, I need You. Give me what I need right now. And too often we're just trying to find it in our own minds. Are you hearing me? In our own intellect. Well, how do I answer that question? Ask God. Do you know, I've learned so many truths, and I've gotten so much revelation simply by having encounters with people. When they've asked me questions and I didn't know the answer, I said, Lord, what's the answer to that? And often God will give me the answer right then. Other times He may say, now go look this up and I'll show you from the Word. But the thing is that there are going to be mysteries. There are going to be some things that we're just not going to understand. And even when our mind doesn't comprehend, we can't wrap our minds around it, we need to get to the place, like Graydon was sharing a while back, about trusting God's heart. It's about trusting His heart. Do we know Him? If we know Him, we know that truly God is good. The devil is constantly trying to get you and I to question God's goodness. Because things happen to us, and things sometimes that are not good happen to us, and we don't understand it because our minds are not able to comprehend all the deep truths of God. Amen? God reveals to us by His Spirit what He wants us to know, but He also reveals the truth to the babes, to the ones who have an inquiring heart, an inquisitive heart. They'll say, God, what's the answer? I don't know. But sometimes our pride gets in the way, and we've got to know all the answers. We've got to be able to win the debate. And you can win the debate but lose the person. And all you've done is you've touched their intellect. The only thing that's going to touch someone is God's Spirit, amen, through us. Some touch spirit to spirit, deep calling out to deep. Now, God's given us a mind, amen? And that's something that we don't set on the shelf like some people do. They think, well, that means I don't use my mind. I'm just a mindless idiot, you know, or a loose cannon, you know. No, it means that you take that intellect and you submit it. You humble yourself, amen, and say, God, I don't know. And God needs a vessel, amen? He uses our intellect, but it has to be under the authority of the Spirit. Okay, now in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I want to repeat this verse again. It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. The King James says seducing spirits, and doctrines of demons. I have personally witnessed people who were doing very well, who got a hold of the wrong teaching or listened to the wrong prophet or person, and they were shipwrecked in their faith. They were drawn away by a lie or by a deception. Especially when they're young, tender plants just coming in to fellowship with Jesus and starting to learn about the Lord, the enemy is very crafty. He's very slick. And he's going to look for any way he can to seduce that person away from Christ, to draw them after another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. And so some, it says, are going to depart from the faith. What does that mean? It means that they were once followers of Jesus, but they listened to the wrong voice. They listened to the wrong teaching, and they were drawn away. They were seduced by it because it seemed pleasant to them. The enemy is very slick. He always comes across very pleasantly. Come on. I mean, once in a while he'll use fear on somebody, but usually he's a smooth talker. Slick. Smooth as oil. He just slithers his way into your mind, and he presents something that he knows would be appealing to your weakness or to your flesh. And he will entice you with that. How many are being drawn away today by the prosperity gospel of health and wealth? I'm talking about where it's all about getting stuff. Are you hearing me? And it's not about following Christ. It's not about taking up our cross and denying myself and taking up my cross and following Jesus. But it's about, how can I have my best life now? I'm coming to this church. What do you have to offer me? When we come together, it's, God, what can I offer? When Jesus ministered, he didn't come with a what can you give me mentality. He came to give. He came to serve. So when we come to serve one another. That's why if we get into the me mentality, we don't come to fellowship much, because it's all about me and what I get out of it. I'm not considering the body of Christ. I'm not considering brothers and sisters. Folks, I've been guilty of that. God, deliver me from me, from my selfishness, that I would live not for me, but for you and for others. Amen? For Christ. That I would follow in his footsteps. God blesses people. God does prosper people, even financially. But with financial prosperity also comes a greater level of stewardship and responsibility. Amen? To do what he tells you to do with it. He's not giving it to you just so that you can live in a lavish lifestyle. Are you hearing me? Like the rich man who built the bigger barns to store up his food. But if God gives us something, then we are stewards of that gift. Amen? If we don't protect ourselves from self-deception, if we don't guard ourselves, then we cannot protect ourselves from deceiving spirits or seducing spirits. The enemy knows that the way to get to a child of God is through their flesh. He knows where we're weak. And you know why he knows that? Because he's always monitoring us. He's watching us when we're prayerless. He's watching us when we're not in the Word. He's watching us when we're compromising. Are you hearing me? And he looks for any place that he can get into you and begin to mess you up. This is for real. Eternity is a long time. Where are you going to spend eternity? Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. We need to guard ourselves against deception. And so we must have a relationship with Christ. Amen. We must have intimacy with God. We must know his voice. We must be able to discern God's voice from every other voice. Just like the illustration, if you had a bunch of women on one side of the wall and you were able to hear them all talking through that wall, and you're on this side of the wall, if your mother was in there and she spoke up, you'd know your mom's voice. Amen? You'd be able to distinguish her voice. And so it is, we need to know Jesus' voice so that when He's speaking, we'll say, that's the Lord speaking. Come on. And another we're not going to follow. So the first way we can be deceived is by believing that my natural intelligence determines my ability to comprehend spiritual realities. That my natural ability, you know, is sufficient for me to understand truth. And that's why in 1 Corinthians 3:18, Paul said, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. What does he mean? He means don't be wise in your own understanding. Don't think that you've got what it takes because you're gifted intellectually to not be deceived and to know what is true. We all have to meet God the same way. Amen. That's at the cross. We need to humble ourselves and we need to allow God to teach us. Cleverness is a matter of the mind, but divine wisdom is a matter of the heart. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 11:25, He says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things, the truth, from the wise and the prudent, and have revealed them to babes. See, He was dealing with all kinds of intellects, all kinds of clever people who were constantly trying to trip Him up. Jesus didn't depend on His own intellect. He depended on the Holy Spirit. Amen. His Father, what He heard His Father say. And so He was saying to them that had come to Him and said, Jesus, what did you mean by that? We want to know. I didn't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. How do I get it, Lord? Show me. Show me. Give me the answer. This is a cool thing, you know. This is when we're tested, you know, God has the answer. And sometimes we get the answers ahead of time, right? Because God has given us some information and then we'll be tested as to whether or not we are able to then implement, right, what we've learned. But He said to the babes, these things have been revealed. Who are the babes? The babes are those who are constantly learning, that are open, that are asking questions. You know, like the terrible twos, right? Why? Why this? It's okay to ask, amen? God wants us to ask, and you shall receive. Another way we can be self-deceived is thinking that just because I asked Jesus into my heart, or I was baptized, I can live any way I want. And God will still take me to heaven. Uh-oh. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revelers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. If this is how you live, you will not inherit the kingdom of God according to the scriptures. Don't be deceived. Now, why would Paul give the Corinthians these instructions if they couldn't be lost? You see, Satan has convinced many that they can live this way and still go to heaven. What a shock it would be to wake up in hell because you were self-deceived. Let me remind us today that the Laodicean believers were a church, and Jesus said, I'm standing at the door and knocking. Revelation 3:20. He wasn't, folks, He was knocking on the door of believers' hearts. You see, there are people who think, well, I asked Jesus to come into my heart, but they live like the devil. They sow to their flesh. And you know what? God's not going to deal with that forever. His Spirit will not always strive with man. And He's saying, when you do so, you are shutting me out. When you are living a life full of yourself is what the problem was. They were full of themselves. They were self-serving. They were lukewarm. Yeah, they had church attendance. They did some church stuff. But they just, most of the time, they lived for themselves. They were lukewarm. They were neither cold nor hot. And he says, when you live that way, you are actually shutting me out. I'm asking for you to once again open the door and let me come in. Do you know, Jesus said, unless we allow him in, unless we abide in him, we can bear no fruit. And if we're not abiding in him, then we're like that branch in John 15 that will be what? It will lose its life. It will break off, and they will gather those together and throw them into the furnace. Another way to be deceived, folks, is hanging out with the wrong people. Young people, please, please listen. Old people, listen too, right? 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits or manners. Bad company can ruin you. Paul is not suggesting here that we become separatists, holier than thous, and we don't associate with people who are unbelievers. Are you hearing me? But he is giving us a warning. And what we really need to do is examine our hearts and say, who do we really want to be with? It will reveal the condition of your heart. If you want to be with God's people, that's a good thing. But if you can be comfortable around people who are worldly, that's not a good thing. That will reveal the condition of your heart. Are you hearing me? Lot, it says, was vexed in his spirit day by day because of the ungodly conversation around him and having to live in those wicked cities of Sodom, you know? And he wanted deliverance out of there. And so God did deliver him. However, his wife turned around. See, the world had a hold of her. In 1 Corinthians 5:9, Paul said, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of the world. Remember, Jesus said, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So a mark of a true child of God is that we will desire fellowship with other believers. Isn't it interesting that when we begin to stray in our hearts, we become very vulnerable to the seducing spirits that try to draw us away from fellowship? You don't want to go into the light because they'll find you out. They'll see right through your facade. How many know it's just better to live in the light? To live clean, to live pure lives, amen, to be sold out for Jesus, to walk in the confidence that comes through a clean heart, amen. So then we have to walk around kind of like, well, I hope they don't discover me. Well, just repent. Get it right with God, and you can walk in confidence. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Amen. So don't be deceived by thinking that it's okay to hang out with people who are going to pull you down. But we say, you know, wasn't Jesus a friend of sinners? Yes, he was. But Jesus was strong, amen, in the spirit. He was mighty in spirit, and he was not going to be swayed by what the crowd was doing. He was able to sit and eat and drink with certain people that maybe you and I would not be able to. However, by example, Jesus taught us that it's possible for us to be strong enough to go anywhere and be in any situation by the power of the Holy Spirit and to still overcome and not yield to temptation and not bow down, amen, to Baal. But it's not by me trying harder. Even Peter, who was very strong-willed, discovered that when it came to holy things and the things of the Spirit, he was a wimp. And God had to reveal that to him in order for him to realize that I must depend on God's grace and not in my own ability to live, amen, for God, independent of him. He had to be broken of himself. And I know that some of this I'm repeating, but I think it's necessary because many were not here last week. But I think this is so important. Guys, if you're in a relationship and that relationship is pulling you in the wrong direction, get out of it. So many people, even young Christian men and women, they find somebody attractive. They begin to have eyes for someone of the opposite sex. And yet they're not a Christian yet, but maybe if I marry them, I'll be able to win them to Christ. They enter into that covenant unequally yoked, and rarely does that ever work out. They end up regretting it. This is a good way to find out whether or not a relationship is worth saving or not. If you can be in that relationship and draw them to Jesus, keep it. If you find that that relationship is dragging you away from Jesus, scrap it. Amen? And I've discovered when I attempted to live for God and I went back to my old friends, I was born again, I was a new Christian, I went back to my old friends, and you know what, I couldn't help but just talk about Jesus. Well, it wasn't very long before they didn't want me around anymore. And I wanted to be around people who wanted to talk about Jesus. I wanted to be in fellowship. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So don't let the devil deceive you and to seduce you away from fellowship because you had a bad day. Anybody besides myself ever make a mistake or have a bad day? At least once? The best place to go when you're struggling or you're going through something is to church. Get in with God's people. What I see so often is the opposite. People have a bad day. Something doesn't go well at home. And so they stay at home from church. That's the worst thing you can do. How many know that often the reason why that problem came up is because the enemy's trying to seduce you away? He wants to isolate the sheep because he's vulnerable in that place. But there's safety in fellowship. I say it so often because it's so important. God wants us in fellowship. Jesus wants us together as often as we possibly can to encourage, to strengthen, amen, to pray for one another, to impart that gift of God to one another. Come together. Be in fellowship. People that are in fellowship always do better. They always do better. Another way we deceive ourselves is by thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to. How many know that a conceited person is a deceived person? In Romans 12:3, Paul said, "Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us." Galatians 6:3, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is, he deceives himself." We are all made out of the same dust. For a Christian to have this superiority complex is a form of deception. Are you hearing me today? It's a form of self-deception. We should never think that we are better than others. Why is that? Because you didn't give yourself anything that you have. Somebody gave it to you. You don't have anything that God didn't give you. Amen? Anything good? Your talents, your abilities, your intellect, whatever it is, your popularity, your charisma, it's all a gift of God. It's not what you gave you, it's what He gave you. And amen, people should be attracted to your gift and not to you. Amen. Paul's warning us here about comparing ourselves with others. In verse 4. So that way we can find a cause to boast in our own accomplishments. How many know that all of us are going to be examined by the Lord individually? That we'll all give an account. And we won't be compared with others at the judgment seat of Christ. See, sometimes that's another way if people are self-deceived to thinking that, well, the majority's doing this, so it must be okay. I don't know about you, but I don't like what I see in the majority of the American church today. I'm not going to follow the majority. Amen? I'm going to follow Jesus. If it don't look like Jesus, I'm not interested. Because there are many different Jesuses being presented today. And we are never to compare ourselves to somebody else and say, well, I'm not as bad as that person. So I'm going to be okay in judgment. No. How many know our righteousness is in Christ? By abiding in Him, we're abiding in righteousness. 1 Corinthians 11:31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And that word judge means examine. If we would examine ourselves, we wouldn't be condemned or judged. That's what the word means. Galatians 6:3, if any person thinks himself to be somebody, this is in the Amplified, or that means too important to condescend to shoulder another's load. When he is nobody, that means of superiority in his own estimation, he deceives and deludes and cheats himself. Now, when I was putting this together, I thought about the elder brother and the prodigal son. You know, really, there's many truths that we can get out of that story, but in relationship to what we're talking about right here, I see that the older brother was comparing himself to his younger brother. That's why he was upset and he wouldn't go in to the banquet. He's saying, I've lived a clean life. I didn't go out and waste, you know, my substance on riotous living and with prostitutes and all that stuff. And here this, you know, this scumbag that's been out living in the world, for lack of a better term. That was a paraphrase. I was that scumbag once, so I can say this. When I was in the world. And the father's heart was good towards his son. He was full of joy that his son had come home. He was lost, but now is found. Was blind, but... And the older brother who was... Well, I guess you can compare him to the Pharisees. I'm so righteous. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. But the Father's heart is redemption. And you know what? The Father told him, son, everything I have is yours. You've always been with me. If you want to have a banquet, you have access to it. See, there are many people, again, who are intellectuals who don't really know the banquet of God. They don't know how to come and dine in His presence and be refreshed and rejoiced in Him. Amen? It's all cranial intellectual. It's all knowledge. But it's not love-based. It's not true. So the older brother was doing what? Comparing himself to others. So just because we're here today, you know, and we know maybe God's dealing with our hearts about some issues and things that we need to deal with. And you know what? God doesn't want us to play patty cake with the devil. He doesn't want us to toy with sin. Because if you play with fire, you will be burned. And if you play with it long enough, you will burn for eternity. God gives us opportunity to repent of our sin, to come to Him for cleansing, to confess and renounce the old life, to turn from death and walk in the new life in Christ. Amen? To be set free from the power of sin by the blood of Jesus Christ, to walk in a new life free, hallelujah, from the power of sin. Amen. That's what God's desire is for His children. Amen? He wants us to be holy just like He is holy. He wants us to follow in the footsteps of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Just like our Lord walked, we are to be in this world. The devil cannot touch you if you maintain your integrity, if you guard your heart. Amen? If you live an honest life before God, a repentant life before God, a humble life before God and men, God will protect you. And the devil will not be able to touch you. Folks, I don't go to bed fearful at night. I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm not worried about the devil. If I keep myself and I keep myself in the grace of God, the devil knows he can't touch me and he doesn't want to mess with me because I know who I am in Christ. And I don't say that boastfully. I say boasting in my God because I know who my God is. We don't have to tolerate that devil. Too often the devil is just beating people around. Just get your heart right with God. Stay armored up. And if he comes on the scene, amen, you can deal with him. The problem is people are not living in obedience to God. And then when he comes on the scene, they don't have exousia. They don't have any authority. Why? Because their life is not under the authority of God. If you take yourself out from under the authority of God, then you're vulnerable. You're like that sheep. And that's why, once again, we need to be together. We need to be encouraging one another daily. We know the day is quickly approaching, the day of the Lord. Things are quickly shifting and changing throughout the earth. The earth is in convulsions right now. Amen. There's wars, rumors of wars. All these things are happening. It's no time to be playing with this thing. It's time to get ourselves right with God. He says, he didn't understand grace. You see, sometimes we can be self-deceived to thinking we deserve better. Yeah. I've been an exemplary student. I deserve the gold star. Well, if you're able to achieve the gold star, give God the glory for it. Because he's the one that gave you the ability. Amen. Hallelujah. Too often we're teaching people to debate the Bible. Amen. They grow up doing Bible quizzes and debates. And folks, you don't win people by debating the Bible. Spirit to spirit. How about this example? Now, I'm not saying this because we are having a problem, because we have a really, I say this in all sincerity, we have a very integrous, upright, God-fearing eldership board here. And these are men that are proven character. They walk with God. They hear his voice. And we're unified. We're together. We're a team. Amen? Just like this church, we're supposed to be a team. We're all doing this together, man. It's not the Keith show, amen? It's Jesus' show. Yeah, and we're all just serving Jesus. Amen. But seniority in the church sometimes is a problem, you know? Well, I've been here so many years. I've been faithful. I've tithed. I've sang in the choir, you know? I've shaken many hands and smiled and said, "Good to see you, brother." How you doing today? It's good to see you. Just keeping it real. But somehow we think that entitles us to a little bit better than the guy who just crawls down to the altar, and gets saved. Oh, we should be rejoicing with the angels. Amen. For every sinner that's saved. Has come to Jesus. We need to reach out our hand to our fellow man. We need to be helping, amen, our new believers, our young couples and people that are coming in that haven't been Christians long, man. We should be just pouring our hearts into them. Amen. But not thinking anything of ourselves, because if there's any accomplishment, it's been by the grace of God. Again, we don't have anything that we didn't receive. So we got to watch out that we're not just self-deceived, that we don't adopt the elder brother syndrome and become a Pharisee and become self-righteous and begin to think after, you know, all God did for us that somehow I had, you know, I deserve the glory for it now. I'm giving an illustration and we'll finish it up right there for this morning. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been talking to people? They're your peers. They're people you're comfortable with. You just kind of rattle off at the mouth. You talk about stuff. You know, you're very comfortable around these people. But then somebody that has more authority than you do steps into the situation. And all of a sudden, now you're just a little more zip-lipped and a little bit more cautious and about what you're saying. How many realize that no matter where we are, God is a silent listener in every conversation? And who we are in private, amen, God knows. Who we are in secret. We can act one way when we're here and go out that door and be another person altogether. What God is looking for is character, integrity. He's looking for people who are real, who are who they are all the time. He's not looking for chameleons that will just adjust. When I'm here, I'm Christian. I've even got the jargon down pretty good, you know. Amen. Praise the Lord, brother. Go out and cuss at your wife or whatever, you know. God sees. But we compare ourselves and we got to be careful that we understand that as an individual, I'm going to give an account to God. Now, Jesus said that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account in the day of judgment. Every loose word. How many believe it's time to start training our mouths? And watch what we say. And if you have a problem like I did, I was like Isaiah, coming out of the military, you know. I could peel paint from a wall, you know. And I said, God, help me. Deliver me from my mouth. Amen. I'm a man of unclean lips. Why? Because I dwell among people of unclean lips. We live in a world, amen, where it's very difficult to maintain, to be steady, to be strong, and to be firm to our convictions and who we are, to be people of character. And we cannot do it apart from God's grace, apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. We must pray or we'll fall prey. But if we have a problem with our mouths and we can't keep our conversation clean, then we need to come before God. And just like God had cleansed Isaiah, amen, the angel had taken a tong, amen, and taken a coal from off the altar and come and touched his lips and purged his iniquity, Isaiah 6. Amen. And his iniquity was purged. Amen? Now, God wants to do that. Why? Because God wants us to be his mouthpiece. And if we're going to speak for God, we cannot be cussing out one side and blessing out of the other. And I'm talking to you as someone who has done that. But I can tell you that God cleans us up. But we've got to be honest, we've got to be humble, and we've got to be willing to be free. Because Jesus already paid the price. Jesus already broke the power of sin so that we don't have to any longer be a slave to it. You don't have to be a slave to, amen, to perversion or a slave to a profane mouth or a mind or any of that, because Jesus has already broken that power of sin. We need to come and trust him, amen, and confess with our mouths and be honest before God. If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will lift you up. Amen. You want to be lifted up with Jesus? Then just humble yourself, be honest, and say, folks, we're all in this together. We're to help one another. I thank God that we're not one of those churches where people come in and they have to fake it because they're going to be judged. Amen. You can be who you are, but be honest before God and be willing to cooperate with the Holy Spirit so that he can change you. Amen. And make you like Jesus. Amen. And because the next thing that happened after God had purged Isaiah of his sin was that he says, who shall I send and who will go for me? Then said, here am I, Lord. Send me. Yeah. Don't be like Moses who said, oh God, I can't speak. God said, who made man's mouth? God will enable us to do what we can't do. That's right. Amen. That's right. Just humble yourself And when you humble yourself, He exalts you in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And you can do things that were impossible naturally. Hallelujah. God, thank You that You have chosen us, that You have allowed us to be a part of what You're doing in these last days. Lord, we come to You today and we say, let our hearts be changed. Would you just talk to Jesus right now? Say, Lord Jesus, I am asking You to change my heart. I can't fix me. I can't change me. I can't even understand You. But Lord, I'm humbling myself today. And I'm asking You to transform me. Change my heart. Change my mind. Lord, cleanse me of all my sin. Cleanse my lips. Deliver me from profanity, that I may speak Your truth, that I may be a fountain of life, that I may bless and not curse. Lord, make me a blessing, that out of my life, Jesus would shine. I give You my heart. I give You my life. I want to serve You. I want to live for You. Teach me Your ways. Fill me with the power of Your Holy Spirit that I can overcome the world. In Your grace. Amen. Hallelujah.